presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal. Let's go!
Oh, thank you, Bluto. Appreciate that. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well, per usual, so you can catch our ugly mugs in studio on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen, with two dudes with faces for radio, or at least one anyway. I'll speak for myself. He is Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Pleased to be joined by a really, really cool discussion, I think, that's coming up here in the next 15 minutes as Tom Lipp is going to be joining us, as we're going to be talking about an event held this last weekend up in North Dakota, the Wilder Man Off-Road Triathlon. It's Extreme North Dakota Racing, and this discussion, I think, is something right up Matt's alley. I think he, in particular, is going to have a lot of fun with it. It's coming up here in the next 15 minutes. Cobra, good morning, sir. How are things with you?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Not too bad. My daughter apparently woke up twice last night, but I slept through both of them, so I feel great today.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I had my earplugs in last night, and I just slept right through it.
Are you a guy that wears a mask when you sleep as well, or no?
God, no.
Yeah, that would scare me. I know people that have like those
sleep apnea.
Sleep masks. I'm like, eh. I'll pass.
Oh, you're talking on the eyes?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Can't do that.
No? Okay.
Yeah, I can't do the mask here. Can't do the mask here. I can do the ears. But
okay.
Even still, I'm a pretty light sleeper.
Uh-huh.
But no, I didn't wake up. It just goes to show you how out I was last night.
Are you a fan while sleeping person?
Of course.
Okay.
You have to have some sort of noise in your room.
I agree. I can't sleep in the dead silent.
Otherwise, you're just sitting there waiting.
I found a good one on YouTube. It's a pink, white, or no. It's a pink, brown, and blue noise.
Okay.
Awesome. So good.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's like a combo of all three noises. I'm a big brown noise fan.
What is brown noise?
Like, have you ever heard of like white noise?
I've heard of white noise.
Yeah, it's just like they're different sounds, basically.
Just
like
New York City streets?
Yeah, no, it's just like, you know, it's like white noise. It's like a more of like a upbeat. Yeah, it's lower.
Yeah.
It's lower.
Oh, okay.
And there's a combo I found of like blue, which I don't really know anything about. Pink noise is kind of like a combo of white and brown, where it's like high pitch and low pitch. It's good. I don't know. It makes me fall asleep in like 10 minutes. It's great.
Hey, I think this conversation is probably putting our listeners to sleep right now, but that's maybe that's what we're here for. And sometimes it sounds like wah, 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 wah. I don't know, but I've never heard of that before. I figure a guy in radio probably should know about blue noise and brown noise.
Yeah, I don't know. Just kind of come across this stuff. I downloaded like an app, and next thing you know, I'm doing research on which one's better for sleep. I mean, that's when you know you're getting a little bit older. That's all I'll say about that.
So you're kind of like the Sam Darnold bit, because he's got that app on his phone that he talks about, what, birds? Like,
yeah.
If he hears a bird, he can go to the app and say, oh, that's a mockingbird or a hummingbird or something like that. So these are signs that you're getting a little bit older. That's one of them, huh?
That's one for me, for sure.
All right.
I'm worried about what I need to sleep better. And a fan and white noise is what I'm doing right now.
There's nothing wrong with that. Not at all. That's the sound of just noise. That's the sound the Cobra makes. Welcome on in. It's the Sports Hub on FSA. Let's go ahead and get to the jump here on the program. We're still about a month or so away. Matter of fact, 1 month to the day for kickoff for the rural sports and for Aberdeen Roncalli. Looking forward to it. August the 21st is the first game of the year, and today is July 21st. 10 days ahead of myself already here. But we are still in the midst of the quote-unquote non-sports season here at Hub City Radio. So this is the off-season, as it were. And I told you that I've been doing some reading, some light reading here this summer of play-by-play broadcasters and fun books and these sorts of things. And I just wanted to share with you a quick anecdote from Vern Lundquist. I read his book, Play-by-Play, finished that up here a couple weeks ago. And it just goes to show you different times. So here we are, year of our Lord 2026. There are certain things that you can't get away with today that you could get away with in 1984. Here's the story. Vern Lundquist was doing play-by-play with Terry Bradshaw for the entire NFL season on CBS. Now, Bradshaw and Lundquist, they were not the number one booth. It was Cimarron and Madden. They were not the number two booth. They were probably somewhere down the line of five or six. So doing a lot of 2-12 versus 3-11 sort of matchups like that. And Terry Bradshaw wanted to do something different, and he wanted to create an imaginary player. He created an imaginary player named Willie Anderson into their commentary. He completely invented him up. Again, low on the totem pole there at CBS. So Anderson was a fictitious free agent defensive back from Colby College on the East Coast, who the duo claimed was constantly making big plays on special teams and special teams blocks. It just goes to show you, you could do just about anything back in the day, and if you tried anything like that in 2026, they'd be like, well, that's not true at all. I mean, there's Twitter and Facebook.
Oh, you get
and
clipped right away.
Immediately. But it just goes to show you, pre-internet, back in 1984, you could pretty much do whatever you wanted on the air.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Although, that would not be a bad thing for like baseball, because you have a lot more downtime,
sure,
to kind of talk about things. So you maybe could get away with that, maybe for like a baseball radio broadcast, just because you have a lot of time in between pitches. But like you said, everything you say nowadays gets clipped, and you can't get away with some of the stuff that you could have back then. It's just the nature of the business now. It's crazy how, like, you'll go through clips like that or whatever in general and see something that was said. We've had this conversation before. Well, we'll see a clip, and next thing you know, we'll say to ourselves, yeah, you can't say that today.
No, certainly not. My thought process, speaking of baseball, over the course of a season would just to be dropping it in a couple of times, like 162 games. Let's say you could use it maybe 10 or 11 times in a season. For instance, oh, it's the seventh inning, you know, two on, two out. Melvin Antonin's warming up in the bullpen. Who is that? There is no Melvin Antonin. Maybe there is a Melvin Antonin. I don't know. But you can just say, you know, oh, Antonin didn't get in tonight. But he was warming up in the pen.
Yeah.
You could drop that in every other month or something like that on a broadcast, right?
Oh, 100%. People would be like, is this Antonin the guy? Is he
ever going to get in?
Is he real? What's he doing, just warming up in the bullpen with the bullpen catcher?
Yeah.
Honestly, you could get away with that, I feel like.
You probably could.
Because there's so much baseball from AAA, AA, single A. Like, oh, Antonin, he must be a draft pick from 23. He's working his way up through the system. He just can't find his way on the field.
Just can never work his way out of the field. So, you know what? Tell you what, Cobra, if you're listening to this right now, 10 years from now, and you've got a guy and you're doing this bit, you can send royalties to david@hubcityradio.com and matt@hubcityradio.com. We'll certainly take it. Well, I mentioned we're getting closer and closer to the sports season, and we're still a month away, but again, you do have lots of action that starts before football. You know, you've got golf and tennis and these sorts of things, and I was driving around yesterday with my wife and just popped into my head, I want to be very, very cordial about this next one. I'm asking nicely. I'm a nice guy, right? Would you consider me a nice guy?
I think so.
I'm a nice guy. I can be a nice guy. So we got this really, really cool website called SDHSAA.com, and it utilizes the GoBound platform, okay? The GoBound platform. It's a place to find all results and stats and news and information about games, and it's completely just dormant all the time in sports season. Now, for a guy that puts the sports together every single night, you do it too from time to time, you know, when I'm out or what have you, it's difficult to find games in South Dakota high school athletics. We're trying to find scores, we're trying to find highlights, all to put on our website, and we have this website. It's called GoBound, an SDHSAA website. It is never utilized, and I'm asking nicely. I'm darn near pleading to coaches out there to please utilize this website, because when it's 10:30 and my daughter's going to wake me up in an hour and I'm trying to get some sleep, I just want to go to the straight to the source and find the score of the Sioux Valley versus Mobridge Pollock game, okay? I really want to utilize this website. It's out there for everybody to use. Can we please just use it?
Yeah, I mean, if we could just use it for scores. I mean, for the most part, I mean, sometimes you go to a game and you just can't find a score for it.
Right.
You know, it's one thing to plug in stats. I know that's a little bit more work and, you know, it's difficult, but because there's more involved in it. But I'm with you, man. We've gone through this conversation before, and I understand it with the stats, you know, it's not, it could be a student, a high school student doing it. I understand all that stuff, but yeah, I mean, there's other states that use GoBound, and we've gone through it, and it seems like they got no problem putting stats in. I mean, it would just help us, the media folk. I mean, we're not pleading out there, but...
I'm pleading.
You're pleading. I'm just saying, hey, if it's easier for us, could you maybe help us out? It makes our lives a little bit easier.
It would be nice. It's a really, really cool website. It's a cool platform. And I think it would enhance the broadcast. I think it would enhance the players. That's really what it comes down to. I mean, I'm kind of being a little cheeky about this, but there is a grain of truth and a kernel of truth in what I'm saying here. It helps my job, makes it a lot easier. But at the end of the day, it really is all about the student-athletes. And to see the student-athletes highlighted on that website, it would be really, really cool. Otherwise, it's just collecting dust. You know, why have this great platform if you don't use the platform?
Use it. It's there. I mean, it's there. Use it. I completely agree with you. I understand it's maybe that extra step, but it's really a nice website when it's used in its proper way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is. And you make a good point. You know, it enhances the broadcast. You know, it's easier to kind of have stats right in front of you instead of having, you know, that the coach send it to you, and then you have to print it, and it may be not legible or something like that. I mean, it really does make a difference. I agree with you.
Yeah, that's a big one, is legibility. We've gotten some interesting stats and emails over the years and media packets, and you're like, what is this chicken? What is that? Is that a 7 or is that a 94? I can't even read that. So it's a great website. Let's just please use it.
That's our TED Talk for this morning.
Yeah. We'll be here all night. All right, coming up next on the program, I think a really fun discussion coming up here with Tom Lipp. We're talking a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I think a conversation Cobra is really going to dig. And to be honest with you, I think you're going to dig it as well. It's coming up next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And now I think this is going to be a really, really fun discussion as we're talking about the extreme North Dakota race from this last weekend, the Wilderman Off-Road Triathlon. Tom Lipp from Groton joins us here on FSA. Thanks for taking some time this morning, sir. How are you?
Well, doing well.
Outstanding. Well, thanks for doing this. Are you from Groton originally, then?
No, from Linton, North Dakota.
Okay. So Linton HMB, right?
It is now, yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Okay, so tell us a little bit about this event. It's a really, really cool deal. There's a little bit of running. There's some swimming. I mean, just where do we even begin with an event like this? There's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, there's quite a bit. It's END Racing. They host a lot of just ridiculous events. They have a 36-mile swim, you know, for example. So this is a triathlon. So you swim, you bike, and you run. You swim, it's supposed to be 2.4, but they make everything longer, so it's 2.5 miles. And the bike is 111 mountain biking, so your gravel road, your single track, double track, crossing a couple rivers with your bike. Yeah. Then it just got a couple inches of rain, so it was really flowing. And then the run isn't so much a run. It's just on foot is what they say, because you're going through creeks. You're going through deadfall, everything. You're wondering if you're lost a lot of the time, hoping that you're not. They have little flags every now and then to maybe give you a little confidence you're still on the course. And then, yeah, it's just a long, long, long trudge.
So that's like the difference between this kind of race and just a normal triathlon. They, you know, they got a lot of things maybe blocked off, those kinds of things.
Right, yeah. A normal triathlon is, you know, you're on your road. You know where everything is. There's people. There's aid stations every couple of miles.
You didn't have that.
No, you're out there. You're alone for several hours at a time.
So how do you mentally stay locked in? Because I got to believe there's probably a moment or two you're out there and you're like, what am I doing right now?
There's several moments. Actually, 2 years ago, I attempted this and failed.
Okay.
So I got 9 miles into the run, and I just couldn't do it anymore. And I was afraid if you drop down into the gorge, there's no cell service, you know. So if you're hurt and you're going through rocks, so I didn't want to be the guy that they have to come and rescue. So I pulled out, and the next day, you know, just regret set in and decided, you know, next time I'm going to finish this thing.
So and you did.
Worked a little harder and a little more time, dedication. You have to be a little obsessed with it.
Yeah. And that, so I guess my question is, how did you kind of get into this endurance type of racing?
It started, my oldest daughter, Amanda, was going to college and she ran the Fargo Marathon. We went up to watch her and I thought, you know, that's kind of cool. You know, she was happy, all these thousand people crossing the line, people cheering. So tried that. And then just the people here in Aberdeen said, you know, you should try a triathlon. And it's a really great group. If you get into them, I thought, you know, these guys are Ironman. They run 100 miles. They'll be arrogant. They're just not welcoming, helpful. Aberdeen Area Running Club is where most of them get. So if anybody's interested in starting, that's the place to go. They just, you know, I went to a couple events with them, and now they're some of my, you know, best friends.
Wow. So Tom Lipp is our guest joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So you're probably late 40s?
60.
You're 60?
I will be in a couple weeks, yeah.
You look fantastic. That'll keep you in good shape is you know, being, I can't believe that. So you're 60. Have you always been kind of a, lack of a better term, kind of a health nerd, freak?
No, when I turned 40, I thought, you know, I'm going to see what I can do, and I'm going to see if I can run 4 straight miles. And I just barely got it. It's probably the worst run you've ever seen. And I got done. I thought, man, I'm in great shape. Yeah, little do you know. I think we're all capable of so much more than we know. You just got to keep pushing through.
So was there a moment where you went from, I like being active, because, you know, my guess is you were always somebody that liked, you know, being active, but there's a difference between I like being active to I want to push myself in extreme events. Was there a moment for you with that or no?
Yeah, just kind of, you know, you started with one event, you know, the sprint, which is very short. You can do it an hour, hour and a half. And you say, well, what, you do that and what's next? And there's the next level. And then you get to Ironman. And then you know, maybe you make the mistake of Googling extreme events. And it shows up and they're all around the world. And there's one just right next door in North Dakota. So you try that, and you find a few other people with the same mental deficiencies you have, and you kind of bond with them.
Yeah, no kidding. So what are the relationships like out there? Do you run with somebody? Do you compete with somebody to kind of you know, bolster each other's mental fortitude?
I wouldn't say they're really competition. Maybe there's some people who are good that you set as a benchmark, that you try to achieve their level, but there's not really competition in this. In fact, if you're down, somebody's going to stop. They're not going to pass you. They're going to stop and help you, give you whatever you need. You know, we've changed people's tires. We've stopped and helped, you know, given up time. Doesn't really matter.
So what was your first real big endurance challenge then? Was it a marathon? Was it, because there's the marathon, and then there's obviously the ultra marathon.
Right. We started with sprint triathlon, and you went to the next level, which is Olympic, which is double that distance, and then it double again to the half Ironman, and then double again to the full Ironman. So the full, I guess, was the first really long endurance event.
Tom Lipp is our guest here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. So did you kind of start with maybe like a 5K back in the day when you're in your 20s or something like that, or was it always...
It was in my 40s when I started this, so it was the first sprint triathlon. They have one here in Aberdeen, but anybody wants to start. It's like a 400-meter swim. Mm-hmm. So it'd be like 8 laps in a pool, 12-mile bike, and a 5K.
I feel like
so
that's
all doable.
Sure. I feel like that's kind of maybe outside of the norm was to kind of go all in because, you know, some people it's like a gradual deal. Oh, I do a 5K, then you do a half, and then you kind of keep going. But for you, you just went all in almost immediately.
Well, I started with the sprint and then just worked up each level. It's like, what's next? What, you know, if you can do one thing, why not try something a little harder?
I'm curious because I watch a lot of these ultra marathon type things on YouTube, these documentaries, and a common theme that I see is the race doesn't start really until you're running in the night. And what's that kind of feeling like, you know, maybe like a full day type thing, and you're running in the wee hours of the morning, it's freezing cold, you know, you're running maybe a hot, you know, because it feels like 90 degrees throughout the day, and then it gets colder at night. Is that fair to say? Maybe what's that like, running just in the pitch black when there's nothing going on? Maybe you hear an owl every
yeah yeah time. you're hearing coyotes,
yeah,
you know. And 2 years ago we saw a bear, you know, so you're hoping that they just go the other way. But you know, it's hard to say. You just kind of you drift into am I eating enough, am I drinking enough, am I maintaining that? I also do math in my head to make sure that I'm not getting loopy. If I, there was at one point I had one race had a few miles to go, and I could not do the math to figure out my pace.
Mm.
You know, and I knew at that point I'd failed in nutrition early. So that's one thing I did this time is just keep doing math, keep eating, make sure I was coherent so I wouldn't get lost. I didn't want to get lost out there.
Yeah.
Because you can go a long way without seeing a flag, and you're in the woods. You don't know where you are.
So what's the path of this race specifically North Dakota that you just did?
I could show you, but if you can it's hard to even explain, but I just imagine an animal path through the woods. You just knock down grass, trees, you're kind of following that. You hope you see a flag every now and then, and it's through woods, through one of the, there's three creek sections where they tell you just drop in the creek, follow the creek until you get to a river. Just follow the flow of the water. So that's about 8 or 9 miles where you're in water walking. You know, you crawl over the deadfall, the rocks, whatever's there. You have to be very careful. They can be slippery because, you know, when you're in the water, you can't walk on the side because there's no room.
Can you maybe walk us through a week of training when you're, like, really into it? Like, you know, because my guess is it's, you're mentioned in trails, you got to watch where you're planting your foot.
Exactly.
Because you don't want to twist your ankle or anything like that. So did that take a lot of time to feel comfortable running on a trail? Because it's a lot different than just going out, you know, at a park or something like that and running, I don't know, 10 miles.
Yeah, it's totally different. It's really hard to train around here for something like that.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's why I try to make sure I'm still mentally there. So I am planting my foot in the right spot, not going to twist an ankle, go down in a rocks in a creek and have to wait for hours for somebody to try to find me. So a training week, when you're into it, typically I like to do in the morning. So I'm, you know, around in the evening for other people. But usually starts at about 4:20.
Wow.
Get to the, you know, the Y opens at 5. Swim. You know, a couple days a week for sure. Try to get in, you know, a few miles of swimming, biking, a lot of biking, and running. It's not a lot of running because you don't have the energy to run that long. So it's just keep moving. So Richmond Trails is a great place to run. It's not it's a very nice trail. You're not going through weeds and brush and things like that. But that's a great place to train.
Were you trying to hit a pace with the
Run
walk much
nope.
at all when
nope.
you're
no
okay.
pace at all set, just wanted to get through to the end.
Okay.
There were very few places that you could run. There were sometimes you drop out onto a gravel road to get to the next section. You could run there a little bit, and I would run. It would be maybe an 11-minute mile pace, very slow, more like a slog, because you've got all your nutrition on your back.
Yeah.
So you're not, you know, free to just run. You're just kind of slogging.
Did it take you a while to get used to running and training with all this food in you? You know, I mentioned that because, you know, it's hard, I feel like, to keep that stuff down, right? I mean, you had to almost train your stomach, right?
Is that
fair?
That is very fair. That's a huge part of it. There's like three events. There's swimming, biking, running, and nutrition. you know, four things you have to take care of. And you have to eat right. You have to know what you can eat and what's going to upset your stomach. You have to get used to drinking warm water, which is awful. Not just warm, like 85-degree water. Mm. You know, and that's it's just hard to take down when you're...
So what was your go-to, like, hey, I can get this down and keep moving type food?
Reese's peanut butter pretzels, Dots pretzels, you know, awful stuff. Pringles, peanut butter sandwich, peanut butter M&Ms, anything I really like to eat. You know, like when I shouldn't eat that, eat all of that. You know, that's one thing. Like, man, I'm going to eat all the stuff I love to eat.
Treat yourself. You might as well. Yeah. It's a really, really incredible accomplishment. So before you get across the finish line and all that, I just want to take you back. Again, Tom Lipp is joining us here live in studio on FSA. When you told your wife and your kid the first time, hey, this is something I'm interested in, I want to compete in something like this, obviously a couple of years ago you did it, you finished it this year, what was that discussion like? Was it like, go for it, honey, you got this? Was it, are you insane? What was that like?
She made sure she had all my passwords to the account. You know, so in case I didn't make it back, she would be able to get into everything. But wow. No, your family support is critical. Without my wife's support, there's no way I could do it. I mean, you know, because you're gone a lot, you're working a lot, you create a ton of laundry, you know, just the time away. And without her support or your spouse's, whoever's behind you, that you need them without a doubt. It wouldn't be possible without her.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned, go ahead.
No, she was, you know, always supportive, always great.
So did you have a whole crew then led by your wife, or was it?
No, I go up alone.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I actually, there was two other people from Aberdeen who did the half. They both finished also, so I went up with one other guy. And he also failed 2 years ago at the half, came back and finished the half this year. So
awesome.
Yep, he did great.
That sounds good.
So yeah, we kind of go alone.
Did you ever see the movie 127 Hours?
I have not.
Okay. Did you ever read the book,
No.
Between a Rock and a Hard Place?
No. Nope. So I know what it's about, but I haven't.
Yeah. When I'm hearing your story here, that's exactly what I'm thinking. You know, you fall into a cave or a cavern or something, and a boulder lands on you, and it's like, how do I get out of here? And it's just, you know, that really happened in Utah. I mean, it probably wouldn't happen here, but, you know, never say never. Is there fear that you have going into an event like this?
Not so much fear. You know that eventually they'll find you. You know, it's just how long. I put a referee's whistle on my hydro vest in case I go down, so I can whistle and make as much noise as I can. Uh-huh. If they do need to find me and pull me out, hoping I didn't need to use it. But you kind of prepare for a little bit of that.
Like a flare gun or something like
that? I should have. Yeah.
Air horn, those sorts of things.
Was there a moment from this past race? I mean, I know you said you failed it once, but was there a moment this race you did last weekend where you thought, I don't know if I can do this again?
You know, the only, not that I wasn't going to make it, but because it's this crazy group up there, it's supposed to be 26 miles on the run. And I got to the last aid station. I was sitting there and they were telling me where I'm going to drop back in. I said, I thought it's just, you know, over this hill. And they said, no, because I said, I got 4 miles to go. They said, no, you got 7 miles to go. Oh, that's brutal to hear. You know, it's 4 a.m, and you know that an extra 2.5 miles is an hour. I got done, and I sit down, and a race director comes up, and I said, you know, I got 28 miles. You said 26, and he looks at me and smiles, and he goes, yeah, that's about right.
Thanks.
So everything they do just makes it a little bit harder.
Mental mind games.
Yeah, that was the only part that really was mentally tough for me.
So how much is it physical and how much is it mental?
I'd say in these longer, the longer the race, the more mental it becomes.
Okay.
100%. It's way more mental.
If you could put a number on it, what would you say?
Oh, I'd say 70% mental.
70%, wow.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, you know, 6 out of 8 quit, and they were all in great shape. Wow. It wasn't a physical thing.
Did you ever feel like you were behind the eight ball, like when you were, you know, maybe not this race, but when you got into ultra marathon, this kind of extreme, because I feel like a lot of people may start this when they're younger. Did you feel like you were?
No, not really.
No? Okay.
No, never did. Just kind of keep progressing, looking for the next thing.
And was there a moment where you really started to love it then?
Oh, yeah. I think from the first one,
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, from the first one, I thought, man, this is awesome. And then I Googled it and I went to their website and I read one of their comments was, "We offer high quality suffering at an affordable price," and that just drew me in.
You said, "Sign me up."
Yep.
Let's go, baby. You got time for another quick segment here?
Sure. If you're all right.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a quick break in the action. More with Tom Lipp. We're talking just mental fortitude with Tom after this on FSA. Our second segment with Tom Lipp on Fox Sports Aberdeen. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury, and Tom joining us here live in studio. And before we jumped on, you said your toenails are having a tough time hanging on right now.
Yeah, they're
going to
be gone here soon, a few of them.
So what does your body feel like when you cross the finish line? Is it excitement? Is it exhaustion? What's it like?
Oh, I said, they asked me, how do you feel? I said, I don't know. Can you feel awesome and awful at the same time? So it's hard to explain. You know, you're super satisfied, you know, knowing that you've done it, but you're so tired.
And are you of the mindset, what's next, you know, now? Or is it like, hey, I just accomplished this? Or because I'm just curious.
No, there's always more. There's
sure.
There's some mountain biking races in Colorado called the Breck Epic. It's a 6-day race, you know, at 10,000 feet. I think that's next.
So is this the flattest event that you've ever experienced? Because like you mentioned, you're out west there, it's a little bit higher in elevation. I mean, that's a whole new level of training to get your body right for that. I mean, training for this one, it's got to feel easy, but for that one, it's got to feel really, really tough, right?
For the Breck?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then, luckily, I have a friend, Tom Dosh, who lives out there, so I can go out and ride in the elevation a little bit and get used to it. It's definitely different when you walk up the stairs and you're winded. You think, geez, how am I going to ride a bike up a mountain? So it takes a little.
So what was the first thing you wanted right after finishing the race? Was it food? Was it sleep? Was there something that you really wanted or no?
I can't really think of anything. I loaded up the bikes. The truck was there.
Okay.
And I drove back to the hotel and I laid down and tried to sleep. We couldn't sleep. had some breakfast and just drove back home.
Wow. So what do you do for a day job? We didn't ask you. What do you do for a day job? What's your 9-to-5 look like?
Oh, I work at 3M.
Okay.
3M.
So when you told your buddies at work, are they like?
You know, there's a group of them that do smaller, shorter triathlons, and they're into it. They're supportive, and they'll make fun of me when I don't do well.
Did they have like a pool or something? You know, how long until Tom, you know, punts on this, waves the white flag?
No, but so after I quit the first one, a friend of mine had came up to me and he said, "So you just quit now? That's your thing, huh?" So I wrote that down, I laminated it, and then on the night before the race, I took a picture of me holding it and sent it to him. he sent back, he said, "You're going to do it, you're going to make it." So yeah, it's a combination, you know, how friends are, they'll ride you, but they're behind you in the end.
No doubt.
Do you listen to like any music or podcasts, or do you have to stay alert out there? Like,
I did on the bike.
Okay.
I did on a bike. I was, you know, singing all sorts of 80s songs, you know.
You do any hallucinating out there, or was it not bad for
nope,
you?
Nope, okay. Not bad at all. That's one of the reasons I do math. If I can't do simple math, I know my mind is going away. I don't want to hallucinate, so if I feel I can do small calculations, my mind's still working.
Does it feel like if you can accomplish something like this, you can accomplish anything that you set your mind to?
I think so. I want to feel that way anyway. Is that true? Yeah. Maybe. I hope so. You know, it's maybe just the way your mind works, you know. And it's doesn't not just athletics or event like this, but it's work, family, your spouse, everything. You try to be better each day.
Did you sort of like unlock a new portion of your brain, a new level of who you are in an event like this, or maybe even a couple years ago, you found a different spot? Oh, I didn't know I had that in me. Did you find something like that?
I don't know if it's a realization like that, or if it's just a slow evolution where you slowly become more aware that you can do things. You know, people will say, there's no way I can do it. And I look at them and think, you know, I think you can. Your mind is what's holding you back.
What was the hardest part of the race for you? Like, if you had to pick one of the events, was it the run/walk? Was it the swim or the bike?
It's the run/walk.
Okay.
Just because the flags are so far apart, you're alone for a long, long time. You're not sure if you're lost until you see a flag again, and then they added that extra few miles at the end.
So is it kind of like a normal triathlon? Is it always swim, then bike, then run?
Always swim,
okay.
Bike, run.
Yeah. Okay.
Why do they do that way?
Well, I think swim is because it's the most dangerous. You want to be well rested for the swim. And I'm not sure why they chose the order of the other two.
Did you call anybody or text anybody? Are you allowed
there's
phones?
There's almost no cell service up there. Mm. So another reason, if you go down, you can't call anybody. You have to wait for them to find you. So, no, I didn't call or text anybody till that next morning.
What was the difference the first time you ran it to this time? Was it just the familiarity of the course? Was it your mindset?
Mindset. Was? Definitely mindset.
Wow. And why mindset? What was the mindset shift for you from the first to the second one?
Well,
you think?
The first time I was more worried about not being able to get through things. You know, did I train enough? I didn't feel I trained enough. You know, would I drop in and have to be rescued? I didn't want that at all. And I just felt I wasn't prepared enough physically. And so this time I trained a lot harder.
So my guess is when you were at the starting line the first time you did it, you had a little. You were probably more nervous, or were you the same amount of nervous?
No,
going to the
way more
time?
Nervous. In fact, Chris, the guy I was with, he goes, "What's your heart rate?" And this was before the race started. I looked. I said, "I don't know. Holy crap! It's 110. I haven't even started yet. I'm just sitting on the beach." At that point, I knew I was. That's not normal for me.
Our guest in studio is Tom Lipp here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. How did you calm down to
that first time? I never did.
But how'd you calm, I guess
this time,
just relax.
I mean,
how? Just deep relaxed. Breaths, or we're big into. We're
I,
like.
I
we're...
think. I think it was more of a mentally. I thought I was prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So when you're locked in mentally, you feel like you've put the time, effort, and you've done all the work. So there's no need to be nervous.
Correct. You just hope nothing goes wrong. You know, something out of your control. Your bike breaks. Your water bladder breaks. Something like that. Other than that, if you've done the work, you should be confident in your ability.
You're pretty superstitious, especially in the morning.
I wore the exact same outfit I wore last time.
Really?
Exact same clothes, everything.
Did you eat the same thing in the morning? Did you eat the same thing and everything? Or?
Pretty close. I have peanut butter honey toast with turmeric and cinnamon. That's everything. In fact, what I wore this time, I wore in the Ironman 10 years ago.
Wow.
Exact same stuff. So yeah, superstitious. In wrestling, I wore the same socks for 2 years. You know, it's just that. So I don't know why. Did it make any difference at all? No, probably not.
Hey, I'm a very superstitious guy. When I'm doing my play-by-play on a Saturday afternoon at Dakota Bank Stadium, I've got to have all my Sharpies a certain way. I've got to have all my. I get it. You know, I totally have sympathy for that. I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah.
But so what's next for you? You mentioned the one out west in Colorado. Mm-hmm. Are you officially already signed up for that? How do people get involved in this sort of thing? Can they reach out to you?
Yeah. Anybody could reach out. But I think the Aberdeen Area Running Club is where the majority of these people, because in that group, you have people who've done 100-mile races, all sorts of endurance events, short, long, and they're going to help you with anything. They're not arrogant. I thought this group's going to be arrogant because they've done all this stuff. Complete opposite. They're really inclusive and they want you to be part of this group, and yeah, they'll point you in the right direction. And yeah, that's how I got involved.
Yeah, you talked about it. You know, people may be listening out there and they say, hey, this is individual, but I feel like, and you can maybe speak to this, how important is that support system when you're doing stuff like this, whether you said it's your family, whether you said it's your peers at work, people that have done this? Did you reach out to anybody, you know, going out before these races? Like, hey, do you have any pointers? Do you have any advice? And how important is that in stuff like this?
Oh, yeah. So I especially longer when, you know, nobody around here has done this. So and I met people who have done it, you know, from the last event that I failed out, and we became friends. You know, we still stay in contact. So, you know, a few months ago, I reached out to them, looked at what they did. They sent me information on what they were eating, how they did it. So, you know, and people who do this are more than happy to share their experiences and give you any sort of help.
Maybe one or two more before we get you out of here. I'm curious, are you a man of faith at all? Does that help you get through this sort of thing too?
Certainly, yeah,
uh-huh.
Definitely. Yep, I think you have to. Just for overall mental happiness, you have to believe in something.
Mm-hmm.
So is this like the first week that you haven't really worked out at all?
Well, Yeah, I'll start again tomorrow.
Take a day off or two.
It's a little bit of an obsession. I can't quit. I don't know. I suppose it's an addiction.
For sure. So were you out? Did you do like a little shakeout run on Sunday or Monday after you were done with this or what?
No, I didn't finish till Sunday.
So okay.
I just drove home, and yesterday I was just putting Band-Aids on my toes.
Yeah. And give me a steak. I want to eat something good.
Yeah. Nice trying glass. To get the weight back up.
Lost. Sure.
How much weight did you lose?
I lost from the day I left, the day I got back, even with eating, I lost 7 pounds.
Wow. But
I got it all back, though, no worry.
Hey, yeah. I guess that's the trick, man. If you're trying to lose weight, just do an ultramarathon. That'd be good.
Holy cow. A nice glass of red wine or something like that. Yeah. A nice candlelit dinner. Awesome. Good for you. Is there anything that you want to hit on before we let you go? Anything that we're not asking you that you want to talk about? Anything to plug? Anything like that?
Just, I guess if people are interested, the Aberdeen Area Running Club is the best place to go. It's full of great people who will help you out. And there's always, you can do more than you think you can do if you're looking for it.
Cobra, you got any more?
I'm curious, in your training with this, did you do a lot of weightlifting?
Kettlebell at the Y. I like kettlebell. Okay. So it's like functional, right? You're making movements. You're not just building a muscle to look good. You're building something to keep you active in your 70s and 80s, you know, leg strength, hip strength, so that, you know, you can play with grandkids, you can pick them up and do all sorts of things. So that's kind of a goal, too, is to be the, you know, the fun grandpa.
Very cool. Outstanding. Well, this has been a really great pleasure to have you in studio talking about this event that you did and wishing you nothing but the best out west in Colorado when that day comes. And thanks again for being a part of the program today.
Thanks for having me.
Tom Lipp here in studio on FSA. We're going to wrap it up after this. Wrapping up this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, our thanks to Tom Lipp for taking some time out of his schedule to join us here on FSA. Man, I tell you what, you want to talk about there's levels to this? There's levels to your mind, and I have not actualized those levels. He has. Incredible conversation.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of getting, picking his brain about really how you got into this A and what you have to do to get through tough moments. I mean, there's moments in races like that where you don't think you can go anymore, and that's when your mind takes over. And he talked about it in that interview. It's 70% mental when you're doing races like that, and it was interesting getting his thought process between the first and the second one, and he was super nervous the first one, and then I think there's a comfortability about, hey, I've been here before, but there's also that pressure I feel like you maybe feel of like, hey, I didn't finish it the first time, I gotta finish it the second time. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a real thing, and just a really fun conversation with him. Like I said, I'm really into this kind of stuff. I watch a lot of YouTube videos on it. Like, I'm going, talking about off the air, just like, hey, have you tried a backyard ultra? Have you tried this? Have you tried this? Like, I know a lot about it. Am I ever gonna do it? No, but I like watching and talking to people who do it.
I'm just looking at the numbers around this thing, and the moments of maybe self-doubt. Am I going to do this? Do I have enough gas left in the tank? Can I keep this food down? God forbid I roll an ankle. When he said, they'll find you eventually, I was like, okay, this is bananas.
He's got a whistle. I mean, that's like, hey, I got to make a noise somehow. Come find me. I mean, there's a lot of serious factors that play into it. You got to be a crazy individual, I mean, to do something like that, but I mean, it's pretty cool. There's no doubt about it.
A, crazy. B, super blessed. And he is maybe a little bit of both. Outstanding conversation with Tom Lipp. Give it a like, give it a share, and leave a comment.